Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More hurricane obsession now. New York One reporter Josh Robin is here to talk about Mayor Bloomberg's expected proposals to protect the city against future storm surges with 12-foot removable steel panels along some of the city's flood-prone waterfronts. And WNYC's Matthew Sherman to talk about what happened the last time we were supposed to build a flood wall around New York City and why it actually never happened. So, Josh, Matthew, hello.
Good morning.
Hi, Brian.
Josh, tell us about this proposal for steel panels. What will they look like? Where would they be placed? Where does this begin?
Well, this is according to sources who have been involved in planning this this approach that Bloomberg is taking, which will probably be unveiled in the next few weeks. It's something that's been long promised by the administration. So the steel panels are just one of the components to protect the city against big hurricanes and floods in the future. It seems like it's the most notable of them. It certainly, you know, rose to the top of my story. But they're removable, and according to my sources, they would be put in areas like Lower Manhattan, perhaps from Canal Street South, around through Battery Park City, and then, crucially, along the east side as well, places in Manhattan where you saw big floods after Sandy.
And we should mention that this is your scoop. Other people have not had the story that these removable 12-foot-high above-ground steel plates several feet back from the water in places like Battery Park and the West Side Highway are even in the offing. So what does that mean that they would only be erected when a big storm is on the way? And for that matter, they can do that?
Yeah, well, I think that the way that the mayor – so after the story came out, the mayor said, you know, look, this is among the options. We're considering a lot of options. And frankly, I don't think that there's going to be enough time in his administration for you to start drilling all the holes and putting all the hardware in. So he's definitely setting the table, and it's certainly among the big things being considered, and it's probably up to the next administration whether to go ahead. But to answer your question, you know – some of these could be removable in the sense that there might not be any infrastructure involved. They could be filled with water or filled with concrete, like you know, sort of portable. The ones that I was told about would involve drilling under the sidewalk around Lower Manhattan. So let's say you have the sidewalk, and if it's just a normal day and there's no flood coming, you would have holes in the ground that would be covered by plates so no one would step in them. And you probably wouldn't even notice them. They would just sort of fit into the fabric of the normal street infrastructure. Then let's say a storm's coming. The meteorologists are sounding the alarms. Underneath these holes would be, you know, a lot of space and would have infrastructure that would allow a pole to be sort of twisted in there. 12 feet high in the air, as much as 12 feet high in the air, depending on how severe, I guess, the storm is going to be or the level of elevation where that particular place was. So from there, you would have one pole and then another pole. And in between those poles would be connected these big steel plates. On the bottom of these plates would be kind of like a water-sealed material, like a neoprene material. They're called detachable gaskets.
Listeners, any questions? Any suggestions of your own? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Matthew Sherman, does this all sound familiar? You've reported that the Army Corps of Engineers recommended that the city put up storm surge barriers as far back as the 1960s.
That's right. There were, you know, we think that Sandy was the first big hurricane, and it was the biggest on record in terms of the storm tide. But in the 50s, there were quite a few scares up and down the East Coast, and Congress asked the Army Corps to start looking at coastal protections, and in a number of places, including in the Rockaways and Staten Island. In Coney Island, the Army Corps came up with plans calling for things like levees, seawalls, hurricane gates, like the ones in London, like the ones in Holland, that I think Josh has been on your program to talk about as well.
Right. They would go. He traveled to the Netherlands and came back with that report.
Right.
But Matthew, go ahead.
That's right. The hurricane gates that were envisioned back in the 60s for New York City were much smaller. They would go across the mouth of Jamaica Bay, for example, or the mouth of Sheepshead Bay or the mouth of Coney Island Creek. But these were quite extensive plans. We have some of them up on our website, actually, and you can see where the Army Corps envisioned putting these levees, how high they were going to be, about 13 to 15 feet. There was going to be a seawall right in front of the boardwalk on, along Rockaway Beach that was supposed to be 18 feet above sea level, but it never really went anywhere.
What happened?
Well, there were a number of things. There was some opposition for certain plans, such as the Coney Island plan. There was going to be a seawall there, but people thought it would cut off the beach from the ocean, or I should say the city from the ocean, because it would have been set back from the beach. I think probably the biggest hurdle, though, was the cost. Back in the day, these were expected to cost about $100 million or a little bit more. But back then, that was the equivalent of about $700 million in today's money. And it would have required some contribution from New York City or New York State or both back at a time, late 60s, early 70s, when we weren't in the greatest fiscal shape. And so there was a lot of stalling, lack of interest, never really had the momentum. The memory even of Donna, Hurricane Donna, which came in 1960 and was one of the biggest hurricanes ever, on the East Coast, quickly faded, and so people forgot about it, and the money and the effort that the Army Corps had went to other projects around the country instead.
And it'll be really interesting to see if people forget about Sandy anytime soon and the political impetus fades. We're talking with WNYC's Matthew Sherman, who is reporting on historical proposals to build seawalls and things like that around the city after past storms, and Josh Robin from New York One, who got the scoop on something Mayor Bloomberg's team is working on as a possible proposal to protect against future storm surges with 12-foot removable steel panels along some of the city's flood-prone waterfronts. And let's take a caller question from Nick in Cliffside Park. Hi, Nick. You're on WNYC.
Brian, we have global warming and sea level rising, which is going to happen. We can't stop that in the short term. So what happens to all the water that gets diverted, and you're protecting some very expensive real estate, but then other places are going to get hit with that water, and they're not going to be too happy about it?
Great question. The water has to go somewhere. When it hits these walls, where does it actually go, and does it hurt anybody?
That's a wonderful question. That's one of the reasons why the mayor has been resistant, that and the price, to build these kind of massive seawalls across, let's say, from the Rockaways all the way down to New Jersey that some people are calling for. But, you know, I asked that particular question, and the response I had is that, you know, there are other ways to mitigate the water that would come from the seawalls. The seawalls, according to my sources, would not be particularly in a large area. There would be other more expansive projects that would also be used, particularly down in the Rockaways, finally building those kinds of dunes that Matthew was just talking about. Also, wave attenuation, that's how they call it, wave attenuation projects off the coast of Staten Island, particularly near Oakwood Beach, which got really hurt. That would have, let's say, wetlands or man-made islands actually off the coast that would sort of suck up the water. It's a great question. I think that the engineers are still trying to work this out. These kinds of big projects have occurred in other metropolitan areas, and I'm sure that they're looking there too.
Politically speaking, another version of that same question that's coming in, and I'll just ask it, is this a Manhattan-centric proposal that might wind up hurting or at least neglecting the Rockaways and other places in the boroughs?
No. I think that the seawalls themselves, I had also heard that they might be installed around Red Hook. But, you know, I want to emphasize the fact that the seawalls are probably the most exciting and novel of approaches. And, you know, that's why it's gotten a lot of attention. But you know, I'm also hearing that there will be infrastructure placed all around the five boroughs. In fact, I'm looking at a map right now that, you know, scribbled talking to those who have told me about the story. And there are all sorts of things from, like I said, down the Rockaway Peninsula, all the way to Staten Island, into Brooklyn, into the Jamaica Bay. And plus, in around Newtown Creek, there's actually, I had heard from one source that there was a plan to actually build a smaller scale a Seagate there that's separating, of course, Queens and Brooklyn.
Donna in Oceanside. You're on WNYC. Hi, Donna. Donna, we're going to come back to you. Listen through your phone, not your radio. Let's try Stuart in Brooklyn. Stuart, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi, Brian. I'm just kind of curious. It seems to me like it would be much more likely to happen if we focus on shoring up the infrastructures around the really critical infrastructures, like, you know, subway entrances and raising electrical relays from the subways, you know, higher tunnel entrances, things like that. I mean, like mini seawalls there seem like it would be really doable. Even the vents in the subway, you could, you know, I could envision the MTA sort of actually closing that off in the couple of days and warning that they would have. However, you know, a huge seawall around Manhattan, you know, I think the one from Sandy Hook all the way across to, you know, wherever it is, the Jersey Shore, I mean, that might be a good idea. But again, that's going to take years and tens of billions. So why not work on the other stuff that actually could happen?
It's a great question. Have they thought about doing this on a more micro level?
Yeah, they definitely are. In fact, the MTA has started to unveil some of these miniature seawalls, similar to the kinds that I'm reporting the Bloomberg administration is closely looking into. Because there's different jurisdictions, the MTA is already ahead of it. And, you know, maybe they want to call more attention to the fact that they are doing that. That would seal off, just as your caller said, subway grates, subway entrances, and protect the subway from getting flooded in the future.
Matthew, anybody tell you for your piece that this is something we should have done decades ago? Anybody from the Army Corps of Engineers out there saying, hey, come on, these plans from the 1950s and 60s would have protected us against Sandy-related damage, and nobody listened to us?
I haven't found anyone who was really convinced it had a chance, I have to admit. The Army Corps, interestingly enough, was pretty politic about it. It wanted to distance itself from taking a cheerleading role. They make a big point about how what they do is basically authorized by Congress. You know, they study options, they recommend one route, and then they leave it up to the community and Congress to decide whether to push it further. So I did talk to a couple of people in the Army Corps, both the former commander of the New York District, John Boulay, and the project manager for the Rockaways project, Dan Fault, both of whom said that, yes, probably this would have helped us during Sandy, that's for sure. But no one who said, you know, I told you so, as it were. I tracked down one person who was around in the 60s when the plan for the Rockaways came out, Dan Mundy Sr., he's sort of a community leader and environmentalist around there, and he went through the trouble of actually getting a hold of this plan, which is saying something for an average citizen at that time to do. But he says at the time he thought it was pretty fanciful. He thought even back then we weren't talking about great public works on the scale that we typically do today. And I think to invest even $100 million in something like this seemed a bit of a stretch.
Let's try Hurricane Donna in Oceanside again. Hi, Donna. I think we have you now.
Yes, hi, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
We're in Oceanside. Obviously, we're concerned about the future, what's happening for Long Island with barriers, and is there information about what homeowners can do to put up some barriers? We didn't have first floor damage this time, but we're worried.
Glad to hear it, because I know Oceanside on the south shore of Nassau County there got hit so hard. Josh, any similar plan for along Nassau and Suffolk beaches?
Yeah, the governor is right now investigating. He's also obviously talked about the impact that climate change has had. And right now he's also investigating the kind of large-scale barriers in addition to the smaller-scale dunes that Mayor Bloomberg is talking about. The governor is more open to those big multi-billion dollar barriers, and the mayor is. If I could just pick also on one thing that Matthew said before, which I thought was interesting, is that it seems like history, in a sense, is kind of repeating itself. I mean, we don't really hear about Sandy too much on the campaign trail. And, you know, the only one to my knowledge who's delivered a major address on this is the Speaker, Christine Quinn. We can imagine after the mayor unveils his report in the next few weeks, I'm sure that the candidates will be asked about this.
And when can we expect that report, Josh, since you've got, I don't know, I hate to use the term seawalls and leak in the same breath, but I guess you got a leak somehow from the administration on what may be coming.
Not necessarily from the administration, but okay. I'll leave the sources to myself. But it should be within – I'm told it's in probably in the next few weeks. It was originally supposed to be right around now. Looks like they're still doing a little bit of research on it. And I'm told that it'll be a major address.
And Matthew, a last thought. How much do you think Bloomberg will be able to get done in 7 months? And how much is he going to hand this on an unwanted silver platter to the mayoral candidates?
I think he'll get very little of it done. You know, the Army Corps has been studying, actually undertaking a new study for the Rockaways and Staten Island. Staten Island project was authorized in 93. That's not the one that I'm talking about in my article, but the new one. And it won't be done, and that's just the study, until the end of 2014. These things take a lot of time.
WNYC's Matthew Sherman, you can see and hear his reporting on storm surge mitigation proposals from the past that never happened at WNYC.org. And New York One's Josh Robin. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the makers of the documentary Citizen Koch, about the Koch brothers and other deep-pocketed political activists and their influence on elections since Citizens United. Stay with us.